series in the adult Sunday school. Well, all of the Sunday school classes are starting new, but ours is grace, and then a number of the discipline aspects that will fit right in with our theme of discipleship. But today, grace and the free offer of salvation. And what a tremendous opportunity there that the Lord afforded every one of us and the whole world so that there would be the blessings that we could receive. Let's see here. Sister, do you need a hand there? Brother Jaime can help you with it. Okay. She said she's good. She's stretching and reaching there. The focus thought bears out, although grace is free, and that kind of the concept of liberty that we rejoice in America, and the freedom that we live in, we know freedom is not free. It was purchased by the blood of many on the battlefield. And the same way, grace is free, but it was paid for. And that price was very, very high. And yet we are the beneficiaries, we are the recipients of a tremendous blessing. However, a response, a responsibility is important to recognize there. And we grow in grace. Thank God there's growth that is included, and that's in the portion of the text from 2 Peter. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's quite a challenge because the fullness, the completeness of what God offers us is, I don't think, is ever going to be realized. And that's what Paul was referring to when he wrote to the Ephesians, and Ephesians is part of our text here, but he writes about, I want you to know the love of God, and it surpasses knowledge, he says, but I want you to know it. I want you to know its height, its depth, its length, its breadth. And that obviously is a lifelong pursuit and one that really is going to take eternity to understand and recognize how much is available there in the love of God, the grace of God that he provides for us. Amen. If we got what we deserved, that would be a pretty bleak picture, wouldn't it? There are many today who think they deserve so many things, so many benefits, so many freebies. But truly, if we got what we deserved, we would be quite disappointed. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that the Lord would provide those basics for us and then build on them to such a degree that we would be in constant amazement and awe of how the Lord would bless in such a wonderful way. So the nature and character of God is seen in these aspects of the blessing of the Lord, and I'm thankful for it. How many were involved in scouting? You were involved in scouting, okay? And the merit badges, how did those come to be pinned on your uniform? A merit badge. Brother Rick? Okay. And name some of the badges. What did you have? It's been a while ago. But let me get to my point. You earned those merit badges, right? You had to do something to and accomplish something to have the badge awarded to you, and then it be sewed on your sash and so on. Is that true for you as well, Sister Stella? You had to earn it. Well, grace is not earned. It's unmerited. You don't have a badge. You don't have something that says, I earned this. I did something to qualify. I passed the test. Or any of those kinds of qualifiers. We know that the simple definition of grace is unmerited favor. And thank the Lord that he ministers in that way to us. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary gives the theological definition of grace. Unmerited, it uses that word as well, unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. And that's a pretty good definition. Given to mankind for redemption, regeneration, and then the ongoing work that is sanctification. Unmerited. And again, if we got what we deserved, it certainly wouldn't be grace. It wouldn't be favor. It would be judgment. It would be condemnation. But the Lord makes a difference in our lives, and thank God that we're able to experience that. How many have experienced or know of quicksand, what we call quicksand? I've read of it, I've heard of it, but I've never experienced the actual stepping into quicksand and sinking. The mud flats, I've done that. Not the ones here that have caused fatalities, but out in front of our house. One time I thought I would go earn some money by digging clams. And so I dug a bucket of clams at night. I had my lantern out there and walked across the mud flats, dug up a bucket of clams. The first door I knocked on, you know, the elderly, I figured they would be the ones who would be interested. My goodness, she was a tough negotiator. I was hoping for $3, maybe even $5 for my bucket of clams. She held at $1.50. And so that was the end of my clam digging for money. But fortunately, I didn't get caught in the mud flats. But we recognize that's a pretty good picture of sin, that the more you struggle, the deeper you sink. And it's the grace of God that rescues us and brings us out of those aspects of sin that can be so entrapping, and without even knowing about it, we can be caught. It's kind of like the grave clothes that Lazarus was wrapped in. That's how sin wraps us up. And that's why when the Lord called him forth out of the grave, he said, loose him and let him go. And those grave clothes had to become unwrapped. And thank God the Lord does the same for us. We are unwrapped from the habits and the problems and the difficulties of sin that have trapped us and kept us in a place of servitude. And we can choose to live for God. And operate that choice, fulfill that choice again and again, choosing to love him, choosing to serve him, choosing to live for him, so that he is our all in all, and that's how the scripture describes him. Moreover, the Bible says you are complete in him. So many people feel like they would be complete if they married a certain person, or if they had a nicer home, if they drove a expensive car, and so on. All of the things that might be measured of completeness. But the Bible says you are complete in him. And thank God we're able to experience that. We're able to know that firsthand because of the choice that he offers us to escape from the curse of sin. Imagine Adam and Eve in the garden and how their every need was provided. They had all they needed to eat, and fresh water and beautiful sunshine and the presence of God. Incredible. But choice, or the wrong choice, brought the curse of sin. And then they began to know pain and suffering and loneliness and hurts and weariness. Wow, it really was a paradise, and they lost it because of the wrong choice. God help us to continue to make the right choices. And then it continued, or that aspect of wrong choices continued, even in their sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain, for whatever reason, not wanting to shed the blood of a lamb, but how ironic that he ended up shedding the blood of his brother. And that's the problem with sin. It'll make you go way farther than you wanted to go. And the results will be very drastic, very tragic. And that's why right choices are so important. There's a passage in Romans 5. That mentions the word gift. And Romans 5, 15 to 17, gift is included there five times. It's as though the Lord is really, really emphasizing the aspect of gift. And it's a free gift. It's the gift of grace. That's what I'm going to be preaching on today, is the gift of God. And praise God that he provides for us that ongoing blessing of his gift. And it's amazing in 15, 16, 17 of Romans 5, gift is mentioned those five times, as though the Lord is emphasizing and overemphasizing the fact that he wants to give a gift to us, and we could be redeemed, we can be set free, we can be blessed, and we can be uplifted, changed because of the gifts that he gives to us. Now, the basic problem is, and here's the dilemma of all of mankind, that the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Modern versions of that verse, Romans 3:23, says that we miss the mark. We've not been able to attain. Kind of like a high jumper. They keep raising the bar, and there's increments on the stands to let you know where they're at, and finally they're at Olympic jumpers, I guess, are in the mid 6 foot range, and they put it at, let's just say, 6'7". Well, 6'7" is quite a ways up there, and they keep jumping, but they miss that mark. They keep knocking the bar off, and that's where all of us are. And it's kind of like the illustration of jumping for the moon. A high jumper could jump quite high. All of his practice, all of his workouts, everything that they do. A pole vaulter can jump. What is our ceiling? Our ceiling, the peak probably is 14 feet. So they jump 2 feet higher than that. 16 feet they were able to pole vault. And that's pretty high. Getting up there is one thing. Coming back down is the part that would bother me. But they have a lot of foam and stuff that they land in now. Oh, that's pretty amazing. 6 feet and then 16 feet, but nobody gets even close to the moon. That shows the problem of sin. That in trying to reach the glory of God, some may be able to jump higher than others in terms of their ability to do good. But without the regeneration of grace and the blessing of God in our lives, nobody even gets close to reaching the moon. And so we need that blessing from God. We need those gifts that the Lord would give to us. And thank God he continues to provide for them. All have sinned. All are in that quicksand. All have been stuck in the mud flats. And that's where the psalmist David in Psalm 40 and verse 2, I believe it is, he said, he brought me out of the miry clay. He rescued me from that pit. He set my feet upon a rock. No more sinking, no more getting stuck, no more feeling the problems of sin like that. Praise God. I'm thankful that the Lord and his rescue is so complete and so able to minister to us. And then he establishes, the psalmist, go ahead and put Psalm 40 and verse 2 up. He establishes our goings. While we're on the rock, we may feel the winds. We may have the rains. The storm may batter us, but we're still on the rock. Praise God. Not getting washed off, not getting removed. And because the Lord understands the feelings that we have. Hebrews 4 and 12 says he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. 4 and 15 rather. And that kind of power is what brings us to the rock and keeps us on the rock, and we're able to understand the blessing that God gives to us. And saved by grace. And unfortunately, that idea then lends itself to license. License to live however you want. Do whatever you want. That's not what grace is all about. Amen. Thank God grace brings liberty. Grace brings freedom. Grace brings regeneration. But there's responsibility that goes with that so that we can know the power and the blessings of the Lord. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 is part of our text in the lesson. And the attributes of God are enumerated to some degree in that passage. It talks about his mercy, his great love, his grace, the exceeding riches of his grace, and his kindness. Thank God for all of those attributes of God that are mentioned there in our text. And then it applies those attributes of grace to us. It's one thing to see all of the wonders of God and all of the power of God. It's another thing to experience those firsthand, to have the personal touch of God in your life. Look how it says he loved us. I'm using that same passage in the scripture lesson, Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. He loved us. He quickened us. He raised us up. He made us sit together in heavenly places. And his kindness is toward us. Praise God. I'm glad we can be included in that us and know his power in all of those aspects where the attributes of God are applied and we have the benefit of what God desires to do with us. Praise God. Faith, obviously, being the the key. And we can get locked in situations sometimes and have a problem. I guess Thursday night, Ermi got locked in the restroom up here. The doorknob failed to function right. The jam, something wasn't right with it, and the door wouldn't open. Well, finally, it got opened, and Ermi was rescued. He probably had all kinds of thoughts about spending the night in there and all difficulties there. Sometimes we get locked in situations, but faith is the key that opens those doors. Amen. And moreover, the Lord has keys. And the song says, the devil can't make a lock that the Lord doesn't have the key. Praise God. And we are in that freedom and liberty because of his grace. Now, when the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. I like to turn it around and say, with faith, it is possible to please him. Praise God. And I think the Bible is saying the same thing in those aspects of having the blessing of the Lord. Ephesians 3 and verse 12, we have a boldness with which we can access with confidence by faith in the Lord. And that kind of power is what God provides for us, that access into his blessing and into his grace. Praise God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, and today is the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and preached and preached a powerful message. Now remember, this is just 50 days after the Lord was crucified, in that range, 50 days or so. And remember, during the time that Jesus was in the tomb, the disciples were shut up in their room. They had the doors locked, they had the shutters closed, they were fearful that they were going to be next. They were going to be collected and crucified. That they were going to forfeit their lives because of their faith. But just 7 weeks later, Peter, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, preaches a powerful message about how the Lord brought Jesus in fulfillment of Scripture. And he quotes Scripture. He quotes the book of Joel about the outpouring of the Spirit. He quotes Psalms about David and the Messiah. And he lets them know this is a scriptural thing that has happened. And then he very strongly condemns them for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. You've slain him. You've crucified him. And that not the way to win friends and influence people necessarily. But it had a powerful effect. There was a desire for change. There was conviction. And they asked, what shall we do? And thank God the answer is so very clear, and we know it by heart. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Thank the Lord that that is the promise that the Lord has provided. But he fearlessly let them know, you've slain and crucified him, but the Lord has raised him up. And all of those words that he preached, and they finally interrupted and asked, what shall we do? And thank God we can give a very clear answer as well. We can let people know as well. You can repent. You can be baptized. You can receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And that message of repentance is basic. It's fundamental. But it's a very powerful message that we can't ignore. We talk about sugarcoating a message. We talk about watering down a message. We talk about just basically making it easier. My goodness, how much easier can it get for the power of the Lord to come to our lives? But when we minimize repentance, we're minimizing the impact that God wants to make in our lives. Because there's got to be a change. And thank God, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord is what we fulfill in our lives as well. We die in repentance, we're buried in baptism, and we receive the Holy Ghost in the resurrection. And that change in a dynamic divine way comes to our lives in an amazing way. But we can't eliminate this idea of repentance. One of our pastors, when he's teaching Bible study, and the one he's teaching feels strong conviction and wants to change, wants to receive the things of God, wants the blessings of the Lord, he tells him, okay, you need to repent, and you need to repent of everything you can think of. Ask God to forgive you of everything. And so he lets them get down on their knees and begin to pray before the Lord. And they get up in just a couple of minutes. That pastor will say, that's not long enough. You keep repenting. And the amazing thing is, almost everyone that he baptizes, Brother Farmer, almost everyone that he baptizes comes out of the water speaking in tongues. I think repentance is a strong key. And we don't dare minimize that and just let grace be the all-encompassing favor and blessing of God that will come to you regardless of how you live. Oh, no. There's got to be a change. And grace even teaches us that. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12. We know that the grace of God brings salvation, and that salvation is available to all. Nobody needs to be left out. And thank God, Muslims are learning this as well. Muslims are experiencing this as well. All men, all women. Thank God, his grace includes all, and salvation is available to all. But grace goes on in verse 12 to teach us what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Are we learning that? Or are we buying into what the church world has pretty much endorsed, that grace just overlooks everything, grace just forgives everything, and it does, thank the Lord. But that doesn't give, I don't have the liberty, I don't have the license to live however I want to live and expect God's grace to be there. No, his grace teaches us, deny ungodliness, deny worldly lusts, live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Oh, Paul, you don't know how awful the media is. You don't know how terrible the things on the internet are. You don't know how pervasive Hollywood's presentations are. Hey, understand, in Paul's day, they were worshiping idols. Remember in Ephesus, they cried out for 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." 2 hours they screamed and hollered that because the Apostle Paul brought the message of salvation to them. And just on and on of how many, our president doesn't call himself God. There are probably some rulers in the world that try to act like God. But the emperor in Paul's day called himself God. And so for Paul to say in this present world, he's not talking about some utopia that's going to come. He's talking about right here, right now. And that's the way we've got to recognize the blessing of the Lord. So are you learning that? That's that's what we got to come to and learn that God's grace continues to teach us and continues to save us. Praise God. And a new birth being such a powerful experience. In John 3, the new birth is in two components, water and spirit. And that's why in the book of Acts, water and spirit are emphasized again and again, because that's the pattern that the Lord said to use, water and spirit. That's why they were baptized with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and they were baptized in water in the name of Jesus. Same thing in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. Same thing in Caesarea and Cornelius' household in Acts chapter 10. Same thing in Ephesus, followers of John the Baptist in Acts 19. Water and spirit. Thank God that that's the power that brings about the new birth. It results in new creatures. And the old things pass away. I wonder, old things passing away is contingent on all things becoming new. Does one follow the other? Or do we try to mix it up a lot of times? We're holding on to the old things, and we're expecting God to bring the new things. No, let old things pass away. Get rid of them. Don't let it be a part of your life anymore. And then let all things become new. Praise God, because that's what the Lord desires to do. That's the change that he wants to make in our lives. And thank God that growth that he's provided is what we can receive. Ephesians 4, 15. This growth in the Lord is to be a continuation. It's to it's not to just be a growth spurt. You know, our kids have a growth spurt. I can remember being very glad that new school clothes were going to get bought for our young people in August, because their britches were so high water, and they were sitting in the front pews here. And they got new school clothes, and the pant legs fit because of their growth. Well, growing in grace is required, and to grow up into him in all things. I like the way that's so inclusive, that nothing needs to be left out. Nothing needs to be untouched. You can grow up into him. And of course, the devil is going to deny that. He's going to delay that and make it seem as though, well, you don't have to get so strict about this. You don't have to be so fired up about it. You know, you don't have to be so committed to it. You can seek other things, do other things, be involved in other things. And even though it may be a little bit on the edge as far as sin and wrongdoing and things that would displease God, that's okay. God's grace will cover it. God's grace will forgive you. You see, the devil wants to distort this idea of growing in him, or not just distort it, but delay it. But thank God we can know that, like the text says in 2 Peter 3, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That opens up an incredible door, an incredible opportunity, where we can step into having the grace of God grow in a tremendous way. Let me just ask you here. Let me just ask you, what aspect of growing in grace have you experienced? All of you here have been here a long, long time, except for the Snyders. Praise God, they're coming up on 1 year. Camp meeting is their first experience of the overpowering presence of God, and I still remember them down in the front there, just a smile that went from ear to ear. The power of God. But most of you have been serving God a long, long time. What aspects of grace, what has grace taught you? If we're doing this idea of growing in grace and the grace of God teaching us, what can you name as far as God's grace teaching you? Sister Glover? Oh, Sister Stella. I'm sorry, say again. Okay, forgiveness is certainly a major, major part, and that's one of the devices of the devil. When Paul warned the Corinthians, you know, don't be ignorant of his devices, we know what he can do. The verse before that mentions forgiveness 5 times. That's one of the devil's tricks. So grace teaches us. We're undeserving, we are unmerited, and certainly we can extend that to others.
That love never fails.
Love never fails, exactly. And 1 Corinthians 13 emphasizes that, as well as so many other passages to show his love is everlasting, his love is steadfast, his mercy endures forever. Wow. Incredible. And that's what we hold to and put our hope in and our faith in. Brother Cliff? The what? Yes, his grace is sufficient in everything. Paul prayed for healing, didn't get it, at least in that passage of 2 Corinthians 12. But when he was praying for healing, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, the healing may not come, but my grace will bring you through. Maybe the apostle was healed sometime later. But 2 Corinthians 12 gives us the principle of just keep going, and his grace will bring you through. Sister Holly. Trust, okay. You ever play that game of being blindfolded and people guide you through the room? You know, they tell you take 2 small steps forward, stop, turn left 1 step, you know, and they're guiding you around the furniture and so on. You're blindfolded. You can't reach out and feel. You just have to trust that they're giving you the right directions. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We have plans. We have an idea. But, oh, goodness, any number of things can happen and happen quickly. But our trust in the Lord is going to bring us through. Amen. Brother Wade. Okay. That's a pretty drastic situation to go through, open heart surgery, and you had prayed before that, but while you were out for that time, you couldn't pray. There were others praying for you. Yeah. And thank God for the grace that covers everything, and we know our brothers and sisters hold us up in prayer. And the Lord is there even though we may not be aware of his presence and how he is able to minister. Thank God that he's there to help us. So we learn these things, and oftentimes we learn them by experience. Experience is a great teacher, but the test comes before the lesson. That's the difficulty with it. But we learn from those tests and from those experiences. Praise God. And I'm thankful that God's power is there to minister. We don't tune like the old radio. Remember the old radio making all kinds of racket, and you're trying to, and there's bleed over, and there's two stations there, and you're trying to catch that one, and it's making all kinds of racket. We hardly do that now. You push buttons, or you ask Siri to go to a certain station or something like that. But I was thinking about those old tune days. And that's what we've got to do with the Spirit. You got to tune it in, because there's so many voices, so many distractions, so many things that will get in the way. But you tune into the Spirit, praise God, and tune out the things of the flesh. And be in the place where we can hear his voice. And the Spirit will help you with discerning. There's spirit discerning, you know, the discerning of spirits, so that you can, when you're witnessing, when you're testifying, you can tell, here's someone who's open, here's someone who's hungry, here's someone that wants to hear the word of God, and that discerning of spirits is there. Then also, the discerning of false doctrine, the discerning of a spirit of perversion, or whatever it might be. You're able to key in on those things. Also, Hebrews chapter 5 has the discerning that comes by maturity. And in verse 14, let's go ahead and put that up here in the last few minutes. Our time is gone. Hebrews 5 and 14, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They are of full age. They've matured to the point where they've heard the voice of God before. They've been sensitive to the Spirit. They know they're getting into dangerous ground. And boy, they say, oh, wait a minute. This is not where I belong. And they move out. Praise God. Discerning good and evil, being able to work with that. Parents need that so desperately. And people who teach Bible studies, people who witness and testify, we definitely need this. And God's grace can teach us these things and bring us into a greater fulfillment of what he wants to provide for us. 1 Peter 5 and 10 says he is the God of all grace. And that's a very inclusive statement to let us know there's never going to be a shortage. There's never going to be a lack or a gap where God's grace is not going to be able to cover it. No, he's the God of all grace. And we put our desire in him. There's an eternal purpose that we identify with. And that eternal purpose keeps us going, keeps us moving, keeps us desiring him. Paul wrote to the Philippians and said, I don't think I've apprehended. I've not arrived. I've not made it there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what I want us to do. Praise God. That same thing. The devil will try to remind you of your past. And when he does that, remind him of his future. He's going into a bottomless pit. He's going into the lake of fire. And we're going to streets of gold. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord. Oh, thank God for his blessing and his help to minister to us in amazing ways. Are you glad for the grace of the Lord? Amen. Thank God for the help that he brings to us. Praise God. Amen. So good to have the way.